May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Often in the book of Revelation, as Jesus addresses the seven expressions of the church, he's addressing all the churches, but choosing particular ones with strengths and issues to point out the word for us all. These are eternal warnings, or at least warnings for us on this side of heaven, or encouragements for us this side of heaven. And often he'll reference himself in a certain way as he's speaking to certain situations and certain expressions of the church. The first thing he expresses himself as is one who stands in the middle of, or is in the midst of, or has centrality. And then he addresses them about first love and what he's saying to them. I'm in the middle of you. I'm in the midst of you. And therefore, I should have centrality to your heart. That's the very first thing we have to always fight for. The second one, he talked about the one who's living, who was became dead and is alive, who was the first and the end. He's talking about the power of his indestructible life. And he's addressing the people who are going through suffering for a season. And that they have that power of the indestructible life living in the midst of them. And so they don't have to fear. The third one, the church in Thyatira, let me just read this for you first in Revelation chapter 1, as John gets this vision of Christ, sees Christ. I don't think it's more than just a vision. He has this heavenly glimpse into Christ, the eternal Lord. And he says in verse 13, he was like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet, and girded across his breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were like white as wool and like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze, which has been caused to glow in a furnace. And then he goes on and says more. In Revelation 2, in the third church he addresses, Thyatira, he says this, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and your faith and your service and your perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I cast her upon a bed of sickness. And says, and then he said, then he goes on and he says, but I say to the rest of you, Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, you have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them. I place no burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast till I come. And he speaks to them about Jezebel, and the thing that's interesting, and I think charismatics went crazy about the whole spirit of Jezebel. And I think about 80% of their stuff was totally wrong. Caused a lot of damage in the body of Christ. Just nutty stuff that doesn't say in Scripture. But here's the thing that's significant is that he affirmed them, just like he did in Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, about a few things, but he was jealous for them because many of them have given to this some false things and made an idol out of some false things. And he addresses himself in saying to them is that he has eyes of fire. He said, the one who has eyes of fire, and his feet are like bronze, burnished bronze. And in chapter 1, he talks about the burnished bronze like a glow that's come out of the fire. In other words, bronze that you've just brought out of the fire and it's still got fire in it, like metal that still contains fire and is bright red. It says the same thing about him in Ezekiel chapter 1, also in Daniel chapter 10. And in Daniel chapter 10, they'll come a Sunday, probably months from now, CTK will talk about this Thyatira thing a little bit more. But in Daniel chapter 10, it says this about him. And I was trying to think of this scripture the other day on Sunday. I referenced the thought but didn't remember the scripture. This is Daniel 10:6. His body was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet were like gleams of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. And the word there is the word Hebrew word for roar. Here it describes his eyes like fire because they're like burning torches. And it says his arms and hands and his feet are like burnished bronze. They're like on fire. It says about God that our God's a jealous God. He's an all-consuming fire. And if you see visions of him, again in Ezekiel and in Daniel, it's as if he's on fire himself. When he sits on the throne's on fire, the wheels are on fire, and it literally says, and that he's like fire. And again, we know that that's the third heaven reality, and that's not about judgment. That's about God's wholeheartedness, about God's impassioned heart, that God's love for us and God's love, God so loved the world, God's love for humanity is like a burning fire. It says in Song of Solomon chapter 8, it's like a vehement flame of the Lord. And when we behold him, what we see in his eyes are a burning fire, not of anger, not of judgment, but an impassioned wholeheartedness for us. And what he's saying to the church in Thyatira, he said, you've drifted off into this idolatry and this teachings, because he talked about the teachings of Jezebel, this false prophetess. And he says, I'm jealous for you because you've done some good things, but I have this thing against you because I'm an all-consuming fire and I don't want part of you. I'm wholehearted. My very appearance just screams wholeheartedness. Fire emanates from me. My face is like lightning, like joy. And I wrote in a devotional day that no one is like full of life and wholeheartedness like God is. That's why it says in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And the Lord is saying, I'm jealous for you and I'm an all-consuming fire. And because I love you so much, I'm not willing to share you with these false things that you're giving yourself to. That you're doing well, but not 100% well in your devotion to me. You've given yourself to other things, into idolatrous teachings. And one of the thing that I think encourages me the most is that when he uses the terminology about feet like burnished bronze, like his feet are on fire, it says in Ezekiel chapter 1 that he burns like a fire from his waist up to the top of his head and then from his waist to the bottom of his feet. As that when the Lord pursued us, he didn't pursue us reluctantly. Even though he struggled with what he struggled with in the garden, sometimes we get the vision that the enemy's like winning, driving him to the cross. But Jesus is winning the whole time. Jesus is accomplishing what he wanted to accomplish. Satan wasn't pushing him to the cross. Satan was trying to stop him from going to the cross. The cross is the greatest symbol of God's burning heart and wholehearted love for us than anything, more than anything else. That's why I love to wear a cross, because it just screams that prophetically in an image form. But Jesus didn't reluctantly shuffle to the cross in pursuit of us. The joy set before him, his feet were on fire. He ran to the cross. He went through a lot to get to the cross. He was determined and impassioned to go through all that he went through to make it to the cross, because his feet were on fire for us. And that's why it says what it says in Daniel chapter 10, that his voice is like a roar. He's like a lion that roars over his holy prey. We're like his holy prey in terms of his love for us, in pursuit of us. He roars over us. He doesn't whimper over us. He doesn't gripe over us. He roars over us. And what God's wanting, what he wanted from Thyatira, is to understand that, look, I ran, my feet were on fire for you. My eyes are on fire for you. When you look in my face, when you gaze on me, you see eyes that are like burning torches for you. And I ran in pursuit of you. And I want you to run in pursuit of me. I want you to roar over me as I've roared over you. I mentioned this Sunday, but Luke let me listen to something which was so awesome. And it reminded me of Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God demonstrated his love for us when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. We couldn't even respond, didn't even care to respond. It says we were at enmity with God. And Luke let this person, Will Reagan, was just quoting, talking about John chapter 3:16, and that whole thing. God so loved the world, the whole lost world. The Lord didn't start loving you the moment you got saved. Amen. He ran, his feet were on fire to go to the cross for you in pursuit of you when you were lost. He demonstrated his own love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And how could we who now belong to him ever question that he stops loving us? Because we mess up sometimes. Before you were saved, you were totally messed up 100% of the time. Yet his heart burned for you. Can you imagine now the pleasure that he has? Because even if it's inconsistent and weak, that you love him back, that you actually respond to him some, how intoxicating that is to him, and how much he longs for you to roar consistently for him. It's just an amazing thing, right? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I tell you, one of the ways he roars, that the God who created the whole universe, it says the whole spaceless universe fits between the tip of his finger and his thumb in Revelation, in Isaiah. That God becomes as small as a little piece of bread and a little sip of wine so that you can encounter him. So that he can meet with you face to face, physical to physical, person to person, so you can touch him and he can know you holding him. That's incredible to me. Amen.